Isaiah 2, 1 through 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." And Romans 13, 11 to 14. "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, nor in sexual immorality and debauchery, or in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. The time has come. Advent is here, and today marks the beginning of the Advent season, a time when, at least in the church year, we are to be all about preparing for the coming of the Lord, understanding that he's already come, and we celebrate that in this season, but also that he's breaking into this world every day, hopefully into our lives and into this world around us, and we look forward to him coming again. So it's a time of preparation, and not that we don't do that the rest of the year, but it's our special focus now. And so that countdown clock was even more than I expected, as far as I was sitting there with this great anticipation, like, well, I knew what's going to happen, but like thinking, what is going to happen at zero? And I guess that's our hope through this, that we're not always ready and alert for Jesus to arrive in our lives and looking forward to his coming. So this is a time to wake up from that. And that countdown reminded me of something from my past. My first sermon that I ever preached, we didn't have a countdown clock to the time that I would get up there, but there was a hymn before the sermon, and that kind of acted like a countdown clock to me. In my nerves, every verse was like counting down. And I wanted to jump up and say, "One more time," you know. But that's obviously a negative illustration. We want to think more positively about anticipating the arrival of Jesus. I don't know how many of you think of Thanksgiving as marking the beginning of Christmas. You know, after Thanksgiving, you can put out your decorations, you can listen to Christmas music, watch Christmas music, Christmas movies. But we want to be thinking about that. We recently, at my other job, we had a new director come in, and we had a meeting, a staff meeting, and I just remember hearing her talk and address us, just kind of feeling this sense of, there's some things I need to clean up in how I do my work, and that was her whole purpose, to rally the troops as far as what our job should be all about. So we're thinking about Jesus coming in, this whole new realm, this whole new way of living with him as our Lord and Savior. And so we're going to ponder what that looks like. So The first scripture, I want to just think about the two scriptures that we heard this morning. The first from Isaiah chapter 2, and here Isaiah is talking about in the days to come, just this sense of anticipation. There's going to come a day when the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest amongst all the mountains or the hills, shall be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream towards this holy hill, this place where the Lord reigns. And many people are going to say, come, let's go up to the house of the Lord. And they're going to stream there that he may teach us his ways. And instruction is going to go forth from Zion. Instruction is going to go forth from the temple, from this high and holy place where the Lord reigns. So I want to think about what that looks like now, because we're saying Jesus has come to bring forth the kingdom of God, to reign above all things. And we're reminded of the words of Paul to the Philippians, that because Jesus came and he emptied himself, he was humble and he was obedient even to death on the cross. Therefore, God raised him to the highest place, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In that last song we sang, it said the hills will bow down in adoration. So think about that image throughout this message, that Jesus reigns on the highest mountain, and all the other hills representing all the other authorities and desires and everything in our lives and in this world take a submissive role to that, to his glory. Think about that, not only like worldwide, but think in your own life. If Jesus is on this highest mountain and reigns in your life, then all the other hills, everything else in your life, your wealth, your any kind of influence that you have, your work, the roles that you play, the relationships that you have, your purpose for living, all these things come secondary to and under the order of Jesus as the one who has that highest place. And all the nations are going to stream towards this high and holy place. And again, thinking about that for your own life, that every part of your life wants to stream towards or come under the authority of Jesus, who is Lord. Let's go to the mountain that he may teach us his ways, and so that instruction could go forth. This week, or last week, April and I went to see The Chosen, the TV show about Jesus. And season 3 started, and the first 2 episodes they had in the movie theaters. And so we went out to see this last week. And the one scene was Jesus had just preached the Sermon on the Mount, and people were streaming to hear him. And this TV show is able to go into some depth about what that might look like. And so outside of Capernaum, there was a tent city that rose up because all these people were making this pilgrimage to hear Jesus, to stream to him, to hear his instruction. And so, you know, just practically the authorities and the Roman authorities in Capernaum were trying to figure out, what do we do with this tent city of people who have come to hear Jesus? You know, what does this mean? How do we keep order in the midst of this? But just this, this image that actually happened of people streaming to hear Jesus and to come under his authority and his instruction. And we continue to think that we're continuing that movement. And one day, all creation will come under that authority. And then, it also says that then the Lord will become the judge between nations and will become he will arbitrate between them. He will bring right judgments, and swords are going to turn into plowshares. Spears are going to turn into pruning hooks, going from violence and conflict to peace and constructive life. And I just thought of the image of right now in Ukraine, there's just conflict, there's war. It's a place of battle. It's a place of spears and swords, present day. But imagine that conflict being over and Ukraine again being able to be the place that's the breadbasket of the world, where this constructive activity happens for life. That's what happens as Jesus comes to reign. And that's what we hope for today. That's what we look forward to in all of its fullness in the future. Come, let's walk in the light of the Lord. Isaiah says. And then when we get to Romans, here Paul is saying, you know what time it is. It's time for you to wake up from your sleep. The night is far gone. The day is near, like the dawn is just about to break forth. It's time to wake up and to be ready for what the Lord is going to do. And we see that as Jesus coming to us. So wherever we're distracted, wherever we're unaware of Jesus' presence or his breaking forth, wherever we're lethargic and we need our lives stirred up or we need our church stirred up, now is the time for that. In baseball, if the team's lethargic, if nobody's hitting, the coach might come and just like knock over all the bats. I don't know if anybody's experienced that, but it's like, wake up, you know, and wake up these bats, you know, start hitting, do something. That's the message of today from Romans. And I want to reread some of it from the message, a little more of a paraphrase for us today. Paul says, make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off oblivious to God. The night is about over. The dawn's about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. We must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around, and in dissipation, which means wasteful or thoughtless activity or words. We mustn't waste our time in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. Now, Paul's stirring us up in those words. Wake up, be ready for the Lord Jesus, for what he's going to do today and what he's going to do as he returns in the future. And he uses the phrase, put on the armor of light. And I looked up, I wanted to understand a little bit better what that might mean, put on the armor of light. So I Googled it, and something came up from Anabaptist World. So I thought that it's got to be good. Found this article, and it was actually an article from a previous Advent that looked at these two scriptures. And the author there said, as in Isaiah, Paul is taking something used for war and giving it another peaceful purpose. Put on the armor of light. Get ready. Do something purposeful to be ready to go out and do the work that's at hand. God is telling an alternate story. There's a new reality. There's a new kingdom. There's a new authority. There's a new way. There's a new thing to prepare for, different than we typically prepare for things in this life. So I scrolled down. I thought I should give credit to this person and found out it was Betsy McRae who wrote that, previously participating here at Whitmer Heights. This past week, Rodney Martin sent out an email, and he's our bishop, but he's also one of the elder team leaders who's overseeing the conference. And so every week they send out an email to leaders. And he just talked about a conversation he had with Adalberto Santiago, the conference minister, and this idea of reality versus truth. Like, think about what the difference might be for you. But as they were explaining it, reality is just the current context, what we see in the moment, the things we're experiencing and observing in our everyday lives. It's like real life. And often out of that, we question God. Like, God, why do you allow this to happen? Truth, however, as we would see it as followers of Jesus, is the truth is the inbreaking kingdom of God, that Jesus has come. We understand that as truth. And we understand and believe that he continues to come and break into this world and that he will come again. And that in all this, he's leading us towards God's intended future for us. Like in Ephesians, Paul says that God's plan for the fullness of time is to gather up all things in Christ Jesus, things in heaven and things on earth. That's the reality that we believe, Or I'm sorry, that's the truth that we believe, even in the midst of the reality of life that might find it hard to believe that things are moving towards this God's beautiful intended end. And so we're in the midst of that. And so the message of today from these scriptures is, in the midst of the reality of today, be ready. Get yourself ready. Be prepared. And be part of what Jesus is doing to bring forth this this new reality. We're called to action, not just to hold on and make it to the end, but to be an active part of what the Lord's doing. So as we think about what our reality is, or what the reality is that people face, like our question there was, how does our community need restoration? We know that we live in a world of violence, where there's lots of swords and lots of spears and not plowshares. There's confusion. You know, what is right? Again, thinking of that image of all these hills that could be part of our life, all these authorities or these things that are speaking into our life, like, what is right? What is truth? What is life all about? There's a lot of confusion. We could be stuck. You know, we're here, they declared, let's go to the house of the Lord. Like, we have a purpose. Let's go and find out what life is all about. But we can be stuck and not know the way to go. A lot of people experience that. We experience that oftentimes. Or we're tired, we're discouraged, life is beating us down. You know, that can be our reality. So how can restoration come in the midst of that? How can we live in hope? What does restoration look like? Both, if we ask that question about ourselves, where am I? Where are you earnestly looking for restoration in your life? And in this time of Advent, to think, how is Jesus breaking through to do that? Where is our community earnestly longing for restoration? And what does restoration look like? And so from our scriptures today, restoration somehow is all about Jesus being able to take that highest place. And it's a highest place of authority, not that we typically experience, where someone takes that highest place and he or she creates order with a strong arm and kind of forces it upon people. But Jesus takes the highest place and makes order out of chaos in his servant leadership, in giving of himself for the sake of others, and bringing about new life for us. So it seems like somehow restoration is tied to this understanding and taking hold of the fact that Jesus is Lord of all. And in that, having hope in this present reality, whatever I'm experiencing, there's hope in that. And there's a clear purpose to join Jesus and how he's bringing about restoration, experiencing that in my own life and offering that to others. So it seems like it's all about hope and purpose. Restoration is coming out of hope and out of purpose. We're not wasting time in useless activities, in bickering, and grabbing after everything in sight, in indulging ourselves, as Paul said. But as we begin to experience restoration and hope and purpose, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's listen to the teachings that are pouring forth and live it, you know. How can we then, as restored people, or at least people on the road towards restoration, offer that to other people, you know? Just thinking about what's preventing others in this world from being fully alive, from experiencing restoration in their lives, living with hope and with purpose. I just want to close with this thought of, as we think about the world around us, and we think about, again, those hills that can be out there, that can look like, in our lives or anybody's life, the things we seek after, like the gods of this world, that we want to be the authority in our life, and we reach out for them rather than the Lord God. But these hills in our lives can also be the obstacles that have power in our lives, that keep us from God's intentions for us, God's intended purpose for life. These things in people's lives that bring about confusion, or that bring about defeat or disillusionment, or stir up anger and bitterness within them, you know. And when we can have our eyes and our hearts open like Jesus did to see what people are dealing with and coming alongside them and offer them hope and offer them purpose. That's when restoration can happen, joining the Lord in those purposes. So as we're freed to have hope and to have purpose in life, then we're ready to help others find that order out of the chaos in their lives. So just in conclusion, some questions here for us to ask. How do you feel like you need to wake up? You know, how do these scriptures speak to you and say within your spirit, it's time to wake up in these areas, to stream to the house of the Lord and to have instruction pour forth into your life? How might God want to bring restoration into your life to give you new hope and to give you a purpose? How might you wake up and pray for and work for the restoration in other people's lives in this world? And to do that through Jesus, who's the one who offers that to us. And the last question, can you trust that God will work out these things at just the right time? That's the message. We'll probably hear that again, thinking about time. At just the right time, it seems, God moves to bring about his restoration and his purposes. So, some things to ponder as we begin this season of Advent. So let's pray together. Lord, may we see this very moment as the time to wake up, to draw our hearts towards you, to look towards Jesus as the one who has the highest place. And he's earned that through his sacrificial love and the truth that he taught and he lived. May we stream towards that. May we find new hope and new purpose. And then may we help others to see that light and to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus. Help us to have faith that in the midst of the reality of life, you move at just the right time to bring about your restoring and redeeming purposes. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.